Caitlin Bristow hosts the hilarious, relatable, always honest, kind of feels like you're hanging out with your best friends podcast Off the Vine every Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesday episodes are interviews with guests like Wells Adams, Rachel Lindsay, Nikki Glasser, and Lisa Vanderpump to talk about everything from career to relationships to mental health. Thursday's episodes are called Grape Therapy, which are sometimes bachelor recaps, sometimes giving advice and hearing from listeners on the Vine hotline, or sometimes just catching up with a friend. Listen to Off the Vine with Caitlin Bristow wherever you get your podcast. All right, y'all, things are about to get intense. Like, we're staring into the eyes of our lifelong crush for a minute straight intense. Intense heat, lasting plump from the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. It's formulated with chili pepper, delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. It's available in 8 sizzling shades. My favorite I've been wearing the past few days is the Blush Blaze. Y'all, this color is beautiful, but when I say the sensation is intense, it is. It feels like, in the best way possible, you rubbed a jalapeno all over your lips. So if you love that sensation, you are going to love this. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time. Seriously, y'all, like, this color is beautiful and the heat is piping. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner advanced rides, feel-good DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, help take the guesswork out of your workout, and encourage you to build from there. Peloton entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride, perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. I love my Peloton bike. I've had one since 2020, and I feel like it really got me through some of those dark days and kept me active. I love the instructors. They get me so hype when they have like awesome soundtracks that really just keep the fun, the excitement up as we're sweating it out and getting better every day. Wherever you're starting, get moving with Peloton Bike or Bike Plus Rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Hi, I'm Hannah Brown, and welcome to Better Tomorrow. My absolute favorite thing to do is have a heart-to-heart talk with my new friends and my best friends, where we sit down and talk about all the things like relationships and love, faith, and self-care. And of course, the little things as well, like the struggle to figure out what to eat tonight. All in all, I really want to ask, how am I better today than yesterday? And bring artists, entrepreneurs, and friends along on the journey. So join me on the journey, will you? Bitch, that's Taylor Swift.
Let's go, bitch. I don't know it.
Wait, which song?
No, y'all didn't go to the concert.
I haven't been to her concert.
But you haven't heard.
But I did watch the concert.
Okay, well, that's like one of the little things.
But I guess
that you
I wasn't paying attention.
It's like one, like she's doing a song, and then like everybody goes one, two, three, let's go, bitch. Woo! And then she starts her song, her like thing.
Well, I have my Taylor Swift gems on my socks, so I feel like that counts.
Let's go, bitch. Think we should go to the Taylor Swift concert in London.
Well, get us some tickets. Wait, have we started yet?
I've been working on it.
Okay.
Wait, when is that though?
Well, it's this summer, I think, or this fall.
I mean, let's just add
it. Tickets are impossible.
To our
so
list.
So the tour's not over?
No.
Oh, I thought it was over.
It's like for the next like
ever?
2 years, I feel like.
Yeah, wow. For the next ever.
It was like Singapore.
Well, we'll have to add it to our mini trips that we've planned. Hey, guys, welcome to Better Tomorrow. I have two of my besties here with us today. Yeah. Nora's been on the podcast quite a few times now, but Annie's in town and Savon.
Let's go, bitch.
Annie is here, and I'm so excited that you're in town, and we've had a very short amount of time together, but I feel like we've got to talk and catch up so much. We've planned about, how many trips have we planned?
Probably 10. At least for just this year.
I had to be like, last night, I was like, okay, for me, I needed to know Let's do like, let's like for real commit to maybe three.
And me and Annie are
I
like,
saw your anxiety already coming yeah. in. Like, I was even like, after one trip, you're like, wait, but which one first? Just, yeah. just one for now.
Me and Annie are like, yeah, for sure. Huh? Let's do it.
We already have like 15.
Wait, also, we need to tell Anne Savon like why that was fun.
I love oh. Savon.
Okay. So Annie, well, it's so hard to go into it.
How about you tell the story?
Yeah, you got to tell the story because I never thought her name was Anne Savon. Okay. You did.
I'll tell the story. And that I think that'll go into us telling who Annie is because yeah. she's one of the most badass people I have ever met.
Oh, thank you.
I tagged you on my story yesterday and so many people DM me like, wait, this girl is so cool. Aww. I was like, yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm excited for everyone to be able to see Aww, you and hear you your story and, yeah. and see your resilience because you've just been through a lot and you've created a lot. And that's really cool.
Thank you.
So the story about Anne Savon, why that's so funny.
This is not Annie's name, no, first of all.
It's not. Annie's name is
Anne Savon.
Annie Wunderlich. Yes. But I personally, this is Nora talking, did not know that her last name was Wunderlich. And I met her through Hannah. And her Instagram handle was Anne's Van. So
because A-N-N, I live in a van.
Yes. She, yeah. she had a she was creating a like she was converting her van. Yeah. And she'll tell us all about that because it's
but
super
she
cool.
hadn't really you haven't really started posting about it that much yet.
I was
you would but you had, you just, had started. Just started
at this okay so at this point she had known me for a year. She had been my friend for a year. Okay,
yes, yes it was a year. Okay.
No.
Okay. That's true. That's
not
true.
Just start. It was like a year in.
But when I originally
and she was my friend that flew in to do van life with me to Idaho.
But when I originally met you, the handle, the Instagram handle,
yeah.
was Anne's Van.
Yeah,
and you weren't doing van life content yet. You had your store, yeah, exactly. on Abbot-Kinney. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my initial introduction to you was Anne's Van. on Instagram. And Hannah was like, this is my friend Annie. And then I got to know Annie and we hung out. We became good friends. So that I was just always Annie. I never really wondered what her last name was. Like that just didn't cross my mind. So then fast forward a year, I go on a van life trip with Annie because as you guys know, I'm a life coach and I saw Annie's life and I was like, dude, I think you're doing life right. Like Aww. I think that is the best way to live is to be free and be who you really are and be creative and travel and do what you love. And so I was like, can I come on van life with you? And she's like, sure. So I flew into Idaho. We did mm-hmm. a 10-day trip together. We're like halfway through the trip and there's one
I was invited on this trip, first of all. And I was like,
you were maybe going to come.
No. I mean, for
it
like,
hell no. It was like, maybe.
She was thinking, you were thinking.
No, but then when I heard the sleeping arrangements, you were all going to be on that one bed.
With Annie's dog and cat.
With the dog and cat. I was like, absolutely
that
not.
Sound
Y'all
cozy
have fun.
Yeah.
But Nora
we would have put you on a hammock outside.
Yeah. I mean, I really would have taken that over all the other options, yeah. but I was like, okay, y'all have fun. Nora's way more like a yes girl than I am, yeah. but I just knew this is probably not the time.
It was probably
for
best
me.
That you sat this one out. It was,
yeah.
was
story.
A lot of great stuff, but it was a lot of hardships.
It was, but it, yeah. it made us closer.
It did.
I'd say.
But back to the Anne
okay.
Savon
okay,
story.
So halfway through the road trip, again, we are so close at this point. There's something, I don't know, we were whitewater rafting or something.
My friend Brian was, I heard you guys talking. Okay. We were at a little bonfire and you were to my left. You guys were talking about me. And he was like, by the way, what's Annie's last name again?
Yes. And you were like, he was filling something out. It was like paperwork. Oh, it was like something
paperwork
that,
on van life.
Yeah. I think it was paperwork for the rafting trip.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And it was like, someone needed your last name. I remember it was Brian. And they were like, what's Annie's last name? And you weren't there. And I was
no,
like,
I was there.
But you were like behind. Anyway, I said, it's Savon.
You go, yeah, it's Annie Savon. And I was like, wait, what?
He started Nora. Writing it down. Savon. He's like, how do you spell that? I was like, S-V-A-A-N. And Annie was like, what are you talking about? I was like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean? And then she said, my last name's Wunderlich. But I was like, oh, I've always thought your last name was Savon because Anne's oh, van looks oh like gosh. Annie Savon on Instagram.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm changing my last name.
To Savon?
To Savon. It's like, easier than Wunderlich.
No, I love Wunderlich.
Yeah, Wunderlich is strong.
Oh, okay.
It's cool. That's a cool last name.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Savon should be your middle name, maybe.
Yeah, Anne Savon Wunderlich.
Kind of cool.
It's kind of like a strong name.
I was
name,
like
yeah.
so excited to get married my whole life just so I could change my last name.
Wow.
Because it's so long and it's hard. people are like, first of all, they're like, is it the Wonderlic test for like football? Or they're like, wait. Like, they just so many different pronunciations. Yeah. It's hard.
I love it.
Thank you.
Also, I was watching us have this conversation, watching y'all, and how we were talking yesterday about we work so well as friends because we can follow the conversation.
We have ADD, all of us.
All of us have ADD.
And there was like four actual stories within the one, but I love it. It's great.
Wait, Brian, what about
there's probably different versions.
It was a bonfire.
Now I started thinking about maybe I wasn't there. Maybe I wasn't there after all.
Yeah. I don't quite remember, but I do remember Simone.
Well, yeah. Obviously we know now that her name is not Anne Simone, it's Annie Wunderlich. Yeah. And kind of want to go back to like how we met. Because I had just moved to LA. I did not really know anybody. Mm-mm. And I met you through one of your friends being my neighbor where I was staying.
Yeah.
And I think you weren't there the first time I met them, right? But
well, I remember exactly how I met you.
Do you want to tell? Yeah.
Yeah. So I had watched your season on The Bachelor.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And I used to have those, you know, parties at my house every Monday night, whatever. And I was at a restaurant on Abbot Kinney close to my shop.
Oh, Zinke.
Yeah.
Zinke. Is it?
It's Zinke.
It's supposed to be Zinke, but we don't call it
that. But I saw you and you walked in and I had, you know, probably a couple glasses of wine at this point. And so I saw, you know, I looked over at you. I was like, oh my God, Hannah Brown. And like right away you like were like, oh, like I don't know you, right? And anyway, that was my moment with you.
But you were with like Jeff and Stu. Yeah,
exactly.
And I had met them. But I think I'd saw you.
Well, it was the next week. So the next week we were at the same place, same table, same friends.
Oh, this
you
was
walked
a
in.
Wait, I don't think I remember the first time.
I remember all of it. So the first time you were like, who are you? And then the second time you walked in and I was like more quiet, tired. And you're like, hey, Annie, do you not remember this?
You look, I blacked out a lot of that part of my life.
I just thought it was funny because like, I didn't mean to spit. The first time I knew who you were and the second time you knew who I was, but we had no interaction in between. So I don't even know how that happened.
I wonder if it was because.
Yeah.
So I think I saw you with. I know why. It's because your mutual friend that was my neighbor, y'all would be over at that house working out. And so I think like.
Oh, yeah. With Jeff.
With Jeff.
Yeah.
So I think I'd like seen you and then like I was talking with him. And so I think then I was like, okay, now I know who this girl is.
Yeah.
But I definitely remember like meeting or us finally like really talking at Zinke. Yeah. Literally, Zinke is where I met everyone I knew in LA.
Same. That's pretty much where I lived all of COVID.
It was the best. I do miss that so much. Yeah. There's like a lot of things that like I miss about LA. And like that was a really good time in my life. But I think it was because of you, Annie. Like the only reason I like met people was being there. But then also like, you're such a great connector.
You're such a good connector.
Annie is the best connector and can make friends with like literally everyone. And she'll also like meet a friend and she'll be like, this person need to meet.
Yeah.
Like you're so good at that.
Thank you.
That is such like a superpower. But I remember like did you get my number or something and you invited me to?
No, I DM'd you. And I was like, there's no way she's going to see my message. But I DM'd you.
About the dinner party.
Yes.
And this dinner party was hilarious because I.
This is funny.
So the neighbor guy was a very cute guy. And he, like, I really didn't know anybody. And that's when I was actually going through, like, getting the offer for my first book, God Bless This Mess. And was working on the proposal for that. And I was just like in that house on Cabrillo right behind Abbot Kinney. Mm-hmm. And I was working on that. And we would see each other every day. And our mutual neighbor, there was like a house in between us, was trying to set us up this whole time. And so anyway, if Jeff was out, I was out, she would be like, hi, bring us together. So we had been like, I don't want to say like talking, but like.
You went
like,
on a couple dates.
Very like. Chill dates.
Yeah.
But still dates.
Would you say they're dates? I don't know. We went on a date walking to like Great White and got coffee together.
That's a date.
And then I found out that my book got picked up and I saw Jeff that day and he was like
champagne to your house.
And he brought a bottle of Vue to the house.
Dating.
And then we're sitting there Annie that same day has asked me to go to this dinner party, but I don't really know anybody at your house.
Well, at my shop.
Yeah. But. And I was like, I don't know who yet, because my parents were coming in town. And so I'm talking to Jeff and he's like, hey, do you want to go to the beach tomorrow? And that was the same night as the dinner party. And I was like, I can't. I'm actually, my parents are coming in town and I won't be able to make it. So he invites me to the beach earlier that day. And I was like.
But then not to the night party.
But not to the night party.
Which is my dinner party. He did not know I invited you to.
And he didn't know I was invited to the dinner party. Okay. So I'm like texting him that day. My parents come in. We're like getting all my stuff set up because this day was actually moving to a different house because I was staying at a friend's house. And then later on in the day, you know, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to this dinner party. Jeff's going to be there probably because they're really good friends. I'm oblivious
of what's happening. I didn't even know she went on dates with Jeff, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just knew Jeff was dating somebody else.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm thinking, this will be great. I'm going to go to this dinner party. Jeff's going to be there. I really want to get to know Annie. It'll be fun. Didn't get to go to the beach and hang out with them. So I get there. And I remember seeing the look on Stu, our other friend's face, when I walked in, being like, oh, Hannah, you're here. I was like, yeah. And I walk in, and Jeff is there with another girl who has now ended up being one of our friends.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. And Jeff sees me, and he's like, oh, hey, Hannah. I'm like,
and I'm literally have no idea what's happening. I'm just happy everyone's there. I have no idea that you feel awkward.
Nobody knows. And I'm like, this is so weird because, like, he invited me to the beach. He did not ever invite me to this. And there's a girl here.
Yep. And they're, like, hand in hand. They just got back from Montana together.
And then I'm hearing all this. Yeah. I'm hearing this.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we're telling the stories.
Y'all were talking about them going on this trip. And I'm like,
date with them the day before.
It was so awkward. Yeah. And I'm there and I'm like, this is horrible. But I got to sit, I think I sat beside you and Stu, and I got to like know everybody so much more. And it ended up at the end of the night, I tell y'all what happened. Yeah. But it was so funny. Actually, I'm so thankful for Jeff because I'm one of my best friends.
Together, yeah.
So thank you, Jeff.
You and I bonded that night. Like, we talked a lot that night.
I know.
And then in the end, Lee is like one of our really good friends now.
Totally. So it didn't work out with him either.
It shows how what girls we are. Yeah. We really stuck together.
That's true.
Because like it was odd. Like, she didn't know, and obviously she probably wasn't happy about that.
No idea.
No idea.
But even that night, she like opened up and like talked and like really bonded with us and like. Anyway, and she was cool about it afterwards, too.
Totally.
So really, just Jeff got kicked out.
Yeah, he did. Sorry.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye.
And then, honestly, I feel like we became inseparable.
We did.
Yeah.
From then on, we became, like, little besties for the resties.
It was so
And you were
fun.
Even telling me, which I didn't realize, but that was, like, one of the only moments you were ever really single, like, being able to go out and be single and, like, talk to people. And
you helped me so much. Actually, Annie is the reason that I even met Adam, because she set up my Hinge.
I forced you on Hinge. Wow. You did not want to go on Hinge. I forced you.
I'll never forget. That was also at Zinc.
Yeah.
Got stood up by that guy.
Yeah. And you were there, right?
And Annie came.
Well, I forgot.
Yeah.
So I was finally getting over this guy. And he was supposed to meet me and never did. And I called Annie and she came as like a best friend would do and came and sat with me because he never showed. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Because mine has been a little drained. I feel like it's because, honestly, this weather here in Nashville, I feel like I haven't seen the sun that much. And I'm just needing a little bit more time outside, some more walks, just being more social, not just as cooped up. And it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? For me, I actually need to be a little bit more social. So I get excited and then can overwhelm myself a little bit too much with all the plans that I've had. But maybe you need a little bit less time and need some time to yourself to recharge. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tomorrow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/tomorrow. Today is about looking for new ways to better ourselves, but sometimes that means looking in a totally different place or even a different state. In South Dakota, travel is transformative. It's good for the soul. It's the kind of place to just let go, to escape from routine and predictability of life, to put down the phone and pick up a sense of adventure, and to see the world a little bit differently, as in not through our screen. Life in South Dakota is about unplugging from it all and connecting with the world around you. It's about being open to real surprises and treating your senses to a real, raw, natural beauty that doesn't need a filter. Whether you're exploring the mountains and trees of the Black Hills, hiking through the Badlands, navigating the wild towns, or camping under the stars, South Dakota is the place to get a little lost and find yourself along the way. See why there's so much South Dakota, so little time at travelsouthdakota.com. There have been many times in my life where I really thought I could trust my gut, but I definitely shouldn't have. Definitely with a lot of those exes in the past, when it comes to that low fuel flashing light on my car, I just always think that it's not really serious. Trust me, it is. I've been on the side of the road way too many times. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. Ritual has made a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome, all in one minty capsule and no refrigeration needed. I love my Symbiotic Plus. I take it every day. It's great because it's got all the biotics in it for my probiotic. I feel like it's just really helping my gut in all the ways. And actually, Ritual even invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed that Symbiotic Plus significantly increased the microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. We love that. We love when the thing's actually doing the work that we need it to for our gut. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/HannahB. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/HannahB for 25% off.
But we did a lot of fun stuff. Remember speed dating?
Oh, no, but my
we booked a trip. Yeah. You literally booked my flight to Cabo and set up Hinge profile. And then we did speed dating.
But I was also going through a breakup too, remember? It was that Cabo was supposed to be for my ex. Oh, it was for his birthday. And we still celebrated his birthday. You got a birthday cake for him. And he wasn't even there.
It was awesome. So we've gone through a lot together.
We have.
And I feel like you really helped me make LA my home.
Yeah. We had so much fun.
And we had the best time, both being like single at the same time. You really helped me like start going on dates with people. And then as I've told on this podcast, how I met Nora is like, then I like went and Nora like helped me, did a YouTube show with me, but then also like helped me with dating. So like y'all two really helped me get into that like time in my life where like healing after all the like bachelorette stuff and the boys from that season, and also just like all my crap before that, and really like put myself out there. And then look at me now.
Yeah, you get to help us now.
Yes. Give us advice, wise one.
Which you really do, Han. You hold both of us up. Yeah. Like,
I think we've all helped each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Like, you have been a huge part of it too. Like, you life coach you.
No, like, I'm like, y'all are probably two of the, and Adam, like, the best things that in that time of my life. Mm-hmm. Seriously. I'm so thankful. But I kind of wanted to, like, we've already talked about Annie being such a great connector. And Nora kind of touched on Annie being so resilient. But I kind of wanted to share more of your story. Like, obviously where we were, we talked about how we met. But, like, that was a big transition for you, too.
And you didn't realize I was
And I didn't
that.
Realize everything. Mm-hmm. But as Nora said, Annie's name on Instagram was Anne's Van.
It still is.
And still is. But like that kind of all started, like you changed that and started to like change your whole life in the direction of it. So I thought it'd be great if you could just like share what was all happening when we met. Cause I feel like it was a very pivotal point, and like kind of go into where you are now and how you've like pivoted and changed.
Totally.
And I think this will be helpful for people listening, because I think sometimes I know for myself, when I've listened to podcasts, I've been like, oh, well, they had this given to them, so that's why they were able to have the success or do this certain thing. But that's not true.
No.
And I think your story really shows people like, no, actually you built this. Like you created this. And you had a lot of different pivots. In times that life was hard. And I really want people to hear that.
Okay, I appreciate it. But yeah, during that time in 2020, COVID, a lot of people were struggling. I was definitely struggling. I had just lost my business. So before I even met you guys, I had a flower business in LA doing events for a living. And so when March 11th happened, it shut down my entire events company, like just overnight, like in 3 days, shut it all down. I lost my entire company.
And you were doing like big
millions.
I was doing a lot of
big installations.
I was on a ladder doing a Rachel Zoe event at Chateau Marmont. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When I found out things were happening and I didn't understand. Right. Mm-hmm. So and people were calling me, just canceling event after event, wanting the deposits back, all that stuff. And so it was a very scary time. And then, you know, I was supposed to be moving into my new apartment on March 15th. And we know that we could not, no one could move, right? So I couldn't get a U-Haul, couldn't move into my new apartment. So I essentially became homeless. I started sleeping on my friends' couches that would allow me to even come over because everyone was so scared. I started sleeping in rental cars. A lot of people don't realize that too. I'd rent a car and I'd just sleep on the streets in Venice in a rental car, scared, had no blanket. And then, I would sleep like at my, this guy I just started dating, I just met him. So, like, I was sleeping at his house.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Michael, we're friends. I felt really trapped. Mm-hmm. Not only did I feel like a huge failure, but a lot of times when you're going through something like that big, I mean, none of us have gone through something like that before, you know, the pandemic. You just feel like it's really only you. And during that time, I was really suffering internally. Like, I just felt like the biggest loser, the biggest failure. I just lost my company. I have no money. I'm broke. I'm negative balance on my bank account. Mm-hmm. Now what am I going to do, right? I have no home. I can't even go back home. And so, that's when I started really dreaming about being free and what that meant to me. And like, you know, I just started thinking about my childhood and like, you know, the experiences with my dad. Like he would always like be like, hey guys, you want to go to McDonald's? And next thing you knew, we were jumping in the car and we'd be on the road for 3 months and just sleeping in the van and like sleeping, you know, camping and stuff like that. And we did that all throughout my youth. We didn't have a lot of money. But it just made me like want that again. I craved that freedom again. So no matter how broke I was, even as a kid, I was happier then. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So I was like, it doesn't matter about how much money I have. Let's now like figure out what's going to make you happy and feel free.
And experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's when I started dreaming about van life. And I didn't have money. So I took a paper and pencil, which cost nothing. And I started just sketching out what I wanted to build and all the different requirements I needed, like height, in case I get a boyfriend one day and he's tall, like stuff like that, you know? And so I just started hustling. I started posting on my Instagram. I think back then I had like 15,000 followers, but with my flower followers, I was like, hey guys, Mother's Day is coming up. Buy flowers for me. There was no flowers available, you guys. I had a rental car and I'm like, where am I going to get the flowers from? Because LA is shut down. And so I had to go to Whole Foods and I get really creative on the vases I would use, like mason jars. Like I get really creative, but I end up working my butt off, but raising enough money to buy this van I found online. Do you guys know this story?
I don't know this story. I know
you
at
don't.
All.
No. Yeah. And so I was like hustling. I was using like this guy, Michael, the guy I was kind of seeing. I was using his studio apartment to make these flower arrangements, like next to his bed because there was no room, and like putting them in my little minivan that I rented and delivering them like all over LA myself. Like it was a wild Mother's Day, but I saved enough money for $3,000. I went to go buy this van that I found online that I fell in love with, Anne's van, the one that you got to be in.
Did you say $3,000?
Yeah, it was $4,000 originally, but I talked them down.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and so I showed up and it was totally gutted, right? So it was ready for me to start building. But I showed up and I'm not going to lie, you guys, I was shaking because it was my only $3,000. I didn't have enough money for gas to get back. Like literally giving them all my money I had that I worked so hard for. And I was like, okay, this is a big risk, but I'm doing it. And so I started like sleeping in that van, even when it was fully gutted, like there was nothing in it. I didn't have the money to or space to build it out. So I started using my friend's workshop a little bit and his tools. I started working on the side of Abbot Kinney in front of my shop because I finally was able to move into my shop. I wasn't supposed to live there, but I kind of live there. I kind of live there. But I was also sleeping in my van outside of it. I was kind of going back and forth. But anyway, that whole year, you probably didn't realize it because, you know, LA is like that where you kind of like have to keep up with the Joneses and act like put this whole front on, like you can't struggle. Mm-hmm. And when I have a newer friend like you who's so successful and so cool and like, I'm not going to tell you guys that kind of stuff, that this might be my last $50. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to have lunch with you and use my last $50 to enjoy my lunch. And so, but that whole year was really interesting for me. And so when I met you, I was just kind of coming out of it because I was working in my shop and finally working again. So I was finally making money again, but I was still like focusing on my van on the side because I knew I wanted out. Mm-hmm. And that's when I hit the road and got into my van.
So how did you even have the confidence comes from like not feeling like you have another option and just being like, I've got to make this work.
Yeah.
But had you done like that type of, I don't know, like, I don't even like mechanical work, learning how to like build out like.
Never. I mean, I kind of did.
A freaking home in a van. Like I would be like, I don't even know how to use a tool. Yeah. Like
I never built out a van before either, right?
Yeah.
I had no idea. I had little experience. Like my dad was in construction, so he used to make me lay brick as a kid or like lay sod or something. And then, you know, as an adult with the flower company, I did have to learn how to use a drill again to make flower walls. Like, so there's a little experience. But I think in the end, like what it really came down to, especially as a female and as a woman and like doing something that typically you would want a guy to do, because I'm not going to lie, a lot of times I would wait. Like, I'm going to wait to build up my van because I might meet a guy and he'll help me. And like, I would say all those things, right? Mm-hmm. But after a while, you get tired of waiting and you just want to do it yourself. And so instead of walking into Home Depot, we were talking about this last night, instead of walking into Home Depot looking for a husband, I started walking into Home Depot being like, I'm a badass bitch. I'm going to do this myself.
Hell yeah.
And so it was just about getting the confidence because I did feel dumb and silly walking into Home Depot going, oh, am I, you know, do I look silly and dumb asking these questions? And this is actually kind of funny, you guys, but when I walk into Home Depot, I get stopped a lot by other men and they talk to me for like 20 minutes wasting my time when I'm just there to shop because there's not a lot of women there.
Are they hitting on you?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Ladies, listen to that.
No, totally. Home Depot is the place to go. One time I wore a beautiful dress there like after church and I'm telling you, I had like 4 men stop me and I was like,
Were you with Adam? Yeah.
No, he didn't come with me. I was like, you should have come to me at Home Depot because there were a lot of men that loved being at Home Depot with me, babe. Yeah. So it's the place to go.
If you want, someone else will. No, it's true. And so like there's not a lot of women there, especially women that walk in with their hair done, nails done. Yeah. Like I have my nails done. even if I had a broken hand. But even like, you know, doing construction, that's one thing I will not get rid of is my being feminine and being who I am and wearing makeup and getting my hair done and doing my nails. So even building out my van, I made sure I kept that part of me too.
Yeah.
And your style is so much in your van. I think that's why your van is so fun to watch online. Because it's an art project. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
You really brought yourself into it.
It's like having your own room at your parents' house when you're a kid and you finally get to decorate yourself.
Yeah.
I felt like that very
much. That's cool.
Yeah.
So when did you start, like, was it always in your mind when you were like, got this van, like, okay, I want to be able to document this online and maybe like, get into this community of like van life people, like you have like a full community. Like, did you know that through like researching when you were going to get your own van and were like, okay, I want to get into this. And so I'm going to like figure out how to document this as I figure it out.
Yeah. So when I first started, when I first got my van, I think hashtag van life was pretty new.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of van life influencers back then. There were maybe a couple, but they weren't really influencers.
It was just starting, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just starting.
Because I think it started after in COVID because people wanted to get on the road and like see things and experience things.
I think there's a group of us that really started it, right?
Yeah.
You met some of them. And so, so for me, like, I'm not going to lie, I don't like a lot of attention. And so, being even on front of the camera talking, like,
I remember that
I get,
you get really shy,
and so and also too, I've never wanted to be on TV and things like that. So for me, having to put myself out there was never something that I wanted to do. But I knew that when I changed my name to Ann's Van, I almost said Ann's Van. It was more of a joke, to be honest. It was a joke for my friends because my
I remember that.
It was a joke. Remember, it was a like, joke. Yeah, they were like, we saw Annie at this time. At the, it yeah. was a whole group chat. But no, so I never was like, okay, I'm going to become a content creator influencer. It was more a joke, right? Mm-hmm. But then when I decided to do the real thing, and by the way, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed of the van. So I did get mocked and made fun of. So even though
I remember
joke,
people would make fun of it, but like you time. Were, but now I know like it was like, no, like this is like.
It kind of hurt me a little serious, bit, but I would laugh yeah. about it.
I didn't make fun of you.
No, but the boys
but
did.
The boys definitely did.
All the time.
Yeah.
And so, but those yeah. suck. I know. So for a long time, I couldn't share my dreams with yeah. anybody because I didn't feel like I'd be empowered in it, to be honest. And I felt silly almost. And like, I didn't really want to tell people I was leaving LA, but I knew I was leaving LA. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really ready to make the jump. But that being said, putting it on Instagram was never my goal. I actually fought it for a long time. Mm-hmm. So even when I did hit the road on December 31st, actually January 1st, 2021, so the very beginning of the year, I fought it for a long time. I fought it for like at least 6 more months. And then finally, I just started seeing all the different van life people making money. And I was like, I'm broke. I can't eat. What am I doing? You know, make money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why are you not sharing your life? And that's when I really started making content geared towards van life and mm-hmm. becoming an influencer, you know?
So there's a lot that goes, like, first of all, you're building out this van. You have no money. But there's also a lot that goes into, like, getting yourself ready to be, like, a creator. Like, yes, thank goodness you can have your iPhone. But you, like, really taught yourself how to do it all yourself. Like, for me, you know, we got producer Andrea over here. I've got people that, like, help me make sure that I can get stuff out in the world. But you did it all yourself. I can did. You kind of talk about, like, even with the van life, I feel like you really utilized, like, what we all have, which is our phone and YouTube. Like, how did you figure out how to do all this?
Oh, I think I've always kind of had an eye for a little bit just because with the flowers, right?
So aesthetic creative.
And stuff. So I had to do stuff for the flower stuff on Instagram. And so I always kind of knew how to make things look visually appealing, right? Mm-hmm. And back then, Instagram, that all was visually appealing. It's mm-hmm. not like how it is now, right? Mm-hmm. Everything had to look perfect.
You literally helped me with my own Instagram. You'd be like, you have to post today. Let's find some pictures. Here's how to edit them. So during 2020 in 2021, Annie was probably picked out all the pictures that were on my Instagram.
Yeah, probably. And I probably took some. But no, I the first thing I did was I started talking to other creators in my niche. And joining them on trips. So if they're like going to Italy or doing whatever, that was later on actually. But yeah, if they were going on a trip or doing something, meet up with other van lifers, I would learn by watching them. I would learn by looking at their stuff. Not copying per se, but just seeing what they were doing to understand like how to make content. Because how to make content is really hard sometimes. Even now it's ever changing. So yeah, I bought a camera. I started using my cell phone. And I just started taking photos and editing based on what I learned from my friends, to be honest, or what I saw online and YouTube.
And you were testing things out.
Trying.
You're like, this didn't work. This worked.
And funny thing about my camera is a lot of people don't know this either, but I had to pawn it because I was broke. There was a time I didn't have money, so I had to go sell it to some guy at a coffee shop. And and then I didn't have a camera for a long time because I had no money. So
Wow.
And that, anyway, that was my struggle.
When did you start to see things change?
I would say it was right before I turned 40 when things were changing. I think being 39 and feeling, for me, I felt like almost a fraud because I felt like everyone I'm hanging out with, everyone that's a content creator, influencer, they're all in their 20s, which is great, but I'm not. Right? I'm 39. I'm struggling. I'm struggling with money, with ego, with all these things. Am I going to meet someone? Am I going to have kids? There's a lot of things going on in my head. I'm also putting this life on Instagram that looks perfect and curated, and it's hard. And I remember that you were one of the first people that said that to me. You came on the van life with me in Idaho. And at the end, you're like, oh, so a lot of this is kind of like fake. And I was like, yeah. But it called me out a little bit. You know what I mean? But I already kind of felt that way. And like, so that's when I really wanted to like start showing my real life and my real struggles. And that's when I started feeling empowered to do so was when I was 39. And I was like, okay, I'm going to start sharing my age because everyone thinks I'm in my 20s. Everyone thinks I'm a trust fund kid. Everyone thinks my life is perfect. I'm wearing these pretty dresses, but it's not. Like, it really is hard. Like, I'm broke ass. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, no one knows this. So that's when I started really sharing my struggles, what turning older, how that feels, aging, how that feels. not having somebody and thought I'd be married with kids by a certain point, how that feels. And just like instead and taking that pain that I was feeling, because a lot of times I was sad in my van, crying at night to myself to sleep. Taking that sadness and trying to use it to now empower other people. And that's when I started posting that stuff. And that's when my Instagram started growing. It started becoming more authentic. And that's when I started making more money.
And being able to like kind of like live your life in a way that I feel like when you're in such a struggle, I just want to like validate like probably why it took you a little bit of time to just be able to be yourself. Like when you're in so much struggle, like you had financial stuff going on, personal things going on, you're just having to grin down and bear it and just like get through it. And I feel like you were in such a like fight for your life type situation for so long. What was there like a breaking point, or like was there a moment that you were like what was the moment, not just 39, but like was there a moment that you're like, okay, I can't keep up this anymore? Because I know what it feels like to like show up one way and not just be even called out by friends, but then to like feel that like I can't, this friction of like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. What was that for you?
I know exactly when it was. Yeah. It was 4 months after I left LA, full-time band life. Still wasn't wanting to be an influencer, right? But need to make money somehow. Is when I had my brain aneurysm. That was my turning point. Like that was definitely stemmed from stress and holding things in and not letting myself, you know, like it was definitely stress induced. And so, yeah, I went to the hospital, went to the ICU. I had a couple brain bleeds in my brain, but obviously they stopped. And I remember leaving the hospital and like, oh, I'm gonna cry right now. But like the first thing I did was I asked my mom, oh my gosh, it's okay, take me to a flower garden. Mm-hmm. And so we went to like a tulip festival. And then after that, we went to a lilac garden in Washington State. And like, I just want to be around flowers and like walk around a garden. And I remember like my mom was treating me like I was like made of glass. Like I didn't, she didn't want me to hurt myself. But I was like, you know, you had a brain aneurysm, you could die. And I had just started van life and that was my dream. And I remember laying down like on this makeshift bed upstairs in her house because we had no furniture. And I was on the floor. And I was looking out the window and I remember just like crying and thinking, am I just going to lay here waiting to die? Like no one's letting me do anything. I can't do anything. No, I'm going to get back in my van. You know what I mean? Like I am scared. I am scared I'm having another brain aneurysm. I am scared of all these things happening to me. But this is like my moment now to finally live the life of freedom that I've been wanting this whole time. But I've been holding myself back. And that's through my own stresses and holding everything in. And so that was like my first turning point. Was it like a night and day shift? No, it took more time for sure of working on myself. Probably actually 2 more years. But that was when I finally woke up, though, and it's like, okay, Annie, start making content on Instagram, start making money, start humbling yourself. Your LA life is no longer, like, get rid of that ego. It's time to just move forward with this dream that you have.
Yeah. I think that's – thank you so much for sharing.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cry.
No, I know that was
I never talk about that.
I know, you don't even with us. Yeah. Yeah. No. I think it's hard for you to talk about because you were kind of away from – friends too at that time. And I think, I mean, nobody, you could have died.
Yeah.
Like,
it was scary. I lost my vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was wild.
And that's why I am so impressed by you because you didn't let that stop you. And you actually like use that as a catalyst. A lot of people would still be on the floor staring at the window. And that's something that I'm just, what could you say to somebody that's has found their self, first of all, like you've been through medical situations that make you feel like, I don't know how to get up the next day. You've been through financial situations. You've been through relationships that would, for a lot of people, would not be able to do what you've done. What is like just a word of advice or encouragement that you could give somebody that's kind of is finding themselves in that situation right now and is leaning towards like, I don't know if I can get up and go the next day?
Well, it's the same advice I give my niece. Number one, I told her to fall in love with as many things as you can, whether it doesn't have to be a boy or girl, or like it could be a moment, it could be a thing, whatever it is, just fall in love as much as you can in life. So that's my number one thing that keeps me going, is try to find love in things and falling in love with things. But also to things are going to be hard. Like, you know what I mean? But someone else is going through something harder. So that's usually what gets me through stuff, is I think about what I'm going through. I process like how I'm feeling about it. But then I also try to have empathy for others around me that might be going through something harder. And I think about them getting through it and moving forward, right? Because mm-hmm. I could be that Annie laying down, looking out that window, watching life pass me by. Or I could be the Annie getting back up and just living life. Mm-hmm. And I want to live life. I feel like life is so amazing. I love life. Mm-hmm. And I think that just find, like, even as we get older, like, as I, now I'm 41, about to be 42 this year, I think, like, finding, like, being a childlike and, like, finding how to be young and, like, youthful and just keeping that energy going no matter how old you get, I think keeps you going through the hard stuff, too.
I think you – wouldn't you? I feel like Annie keeps me young.
I totally agree. Like, anytime I spend time with you, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so much fun.
Aww, yeah.
I love you guys.
And like, I love your advice about like falling in love with things. Cause yeah, I do feel like you really, you have like found interest and love in so many different things. And I've told you both about this. And I can't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast. I know on my Instagram, like, that's one thing my therapist like really wants me to work on, because I can be so like timid and mm-hmm. scared because I don't want to fail. And I think sometimes when you've had these failures, you don't have as much fear to like mm-hmm. it get back up. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely had failures in my life to get back up, but sometimes I can be the person.
Yeah.
I've found myself, there's moments where I'm like, I don't want to show up that way anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm scared to show up. And mm-hmm. I've had like a big challenge for myself to start trying new things and being okay. Like, even I told you, I'm like, yeah, I find myself when I'm doing flowers just like smiling and I want to get into it. And you're like,
it's
totally.
It's things that make you happy.
Yeah.
And you love.
Instead of trying to do it perfect.
And trying to do it perfect. Yeah. And then also you're like, we can also do it together. And I'm like, perfect. But like, even I remember you telling me how you learned how to do even your floral business. Like,
yeah, I learned how to do it on YouTube.
And,
which is
and
so cool.
That. Yeah. It's
have such a growth mindset.
Yeah.
And when you've gotten knocked down, which everyone will, like every person listening to this, it's inevitable that there's going to be pain that happens.
Yeah.
And I remember the first person that told me that, I was like, F you. I hate hearing that. Like, I want my life to be perfect all the time. But it's like, it won't.
No.
But it's how we react to it. And you've reacted to it in such a empowering way.
Well, thank you.
Where are my engaged girls? Congrats. You're engaged. So am I. Now you may be like me wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can get design, save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. Zola has created everything you need to make the whole process super easy. And hopefully actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on the couch. Look, I have just now opened the can of worms of all that is wedding planning, but I'm so thankful for Zola because it can help make wedding planning so much easier for all of us engaged girlies. We need to be having fun. We need to be excited. It doesn't need to be a stressful process. And I feel like Zola can really help us engaged girlies enjoy this time of our life because we are celebrating the love that we have created and this beautiful new chapter in our life. And we do not need to be crying over napkins and invitations. So Zola's got us covered. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin's cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? You heard that right. Dunkin's Cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. Each Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pod is packed with the smooth, bold Dunkin' flavor you crave. Pick up a pack of Dunkin's Cold K-Cup pods and enjoy a Dunkin' cold coffee at home whenever you crave it. Just brew over ice and sip in seconds, because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
And I always say, like, I'm not scared of being poor because I've been poor before. But what I really mean by that is like, I'm not afraid of failure because I've failed so many times before. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you just pick yourself back up and try again. Yeah. Take a risk.
One of my favorite quotes is, success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. Yeah. Mm. And I think that's true. Like, a lot of my clients are like, outside looking in, they're really successful, mm-hmm. but they're coming to me for a reason. They feel kind of lost. They don't know their direction. They don't know their purpose. They don't know what's next. They don't feel fulfilled with what they're doing in their life. And that, man, like, it, that sucks really bad, because then you not only don't feel fulfilled, but you also feel like this almost golden handcuffs of like, well, I can't move because I have the quote unquote success, mm-hmm. but you really don't. Like, mm-hmm. success is, like you're saying, it's in each moment. Am I fulfilled? Am I living according to my values? Yeah. Am I doing what I love? Like, if I love
my
flowers,
success
am I doing
is
flowers?
Not stemmed on my bank account anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it does not matter how much I have. It's about like how I'm living my life and how I'm presenting myself to the world. So even like when I talk about Instagram, I even say like things like, what do I want to present to the world this year on my Instagram? I really think about things.
I love that.
Yeah.
I kind of want to just kind of close the loop of like where you've gone and what you've done, and because you've now created a new business.
I have.
Through sharing very vulnerably about what you're doing, traveling the world. So can you kind of share about like how you came up with this new business, how the past, you know, 3 years, what have you learned, and how you're doing this differently?
Yeah. So for me, like when I started this new business, it's group travel, right?
Yeah.
So it's group travel with different content creators, athletes, celebrities, whoever's hosting it. But the reason why I started it is, I'm not going to lie, guys, I was feeling lonely. Mm-hmm. I was really, really lonely. I wanted to make friends, especially women, like even my own age group, right? And so like I started putting some group trips together in general, just so I can meet other people. And so I did one in Bali. I did one in Texas for my birthday. I did a women's summer camp, which was so much fun. And it was at my family property in Washington. And that was the one that really made me want to start this company. Just because everyone left, there's 30 women, everyone left feeling so empowered from the weekend. Like, we all were holding each other crying. Like, and I realized that everyone came needed something from, they all came for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. They were searching for something and they weren't sure what it was. But I think by the end of it, we all figured it out. We wanted community. Mm-hmm. And so now we host a bunch of group trips all over the world with different hosts, not just me. But even this summer, we're doing another summer camp, and I hope Nora can be involved.
I'll
in this
be there.
One. Yeah, I know. But it's going to be for 125 women. And so it's kind of like what I was saying earlier about like making sure we stay young and be youthful the rest of our lives. But the summer camp is for adults, but we're going to be doing childlike things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, is that answering your question?
Totally. No, I'm like so proud of you and like all the work that you've done and also started this from the ground up. I think it's just good for people to hear. I know for myself, like, I'm so inspired by hearing people like reinvent themselves so many times. And as you're falling in love with things, like really allowing that to like be like a part of your life. Like, how do you build that in, that love in? And I feel like you've really just done that. I kind of want to go back to being single in a van, solo travel. What are some of the like hardest things that people might not expect about being on the road by yourself?
Oh,
because it can seem like kind of how Nora was like, oh, it can seem like it's so awesome and so cool. Looks, and there is a lot of freedom,
but it's really hard. It's really hard. Especially when you're out like in nature and like away from like, society, like in Venice, that was easy. Living on the side of the street in Venice, that's easy. I get why there's so many homeless people. I get it. But like in nature, it is hard because like you have all these people on Instagram calling you a badass that you're by yourself, but no, you're scared. You're scared. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
how did you like protect, like, did you think of ways to like protect yourself? Like,
yeah, I mean, I have like little weapons and stuff, but like at the same time, like I got my dog for that reason, but I got a golden retriever. Like, it's not like I got a Rottweiler, whatever it's called, but yeah, I got a golden retriever, which is you pretty much. And a cat.
I am a golden retriever. Hannah's the cat. No, you're not a cat.
But yeah, just being in the middle of nowhere and like trying to feel like a badass that you feel like you are, but also being scared and you can't sleep at night. Every sound scares you.
Yeah.
So that's a hard part to staying clean.
Like the fear, like, does it go away?
I think you get used to it sometimes, mm-hmm. just if you're there in one place long enough. But still, like, every time someone drives by, you're always suspicious. Like, but I did keep my van kind of ugly on the outside for that reason.
I remember you saying that.
I wanted it to look like I was an old, scary homeless man. Don't bug me.
You kept the, like, stickers, like the Harley Davidson.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to look masculine from the outside.
But inside it was adorable.
But yeah, I take a lot of safety precautions, though. A lot of safety precautions with my van. Like, I don't like people seeing me, for example. So I don't like them seeing me walk into my van. If someone has seen me and I look, feel like they looked at me too long, I will move my van somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So that way they can't see me or find me later on. I think that part, I think the loneliness is really hard. I think it feels freeing, but by yourself, you do get lonely, even with pets. Totally. And you're just alone with your thoughts in the middle of nowhere without any service. You know what I mean?
And I think that's why the community, like, going on those,
those
group trips together. That you did, and then now, like, building that into, like, what you've learned and, like, loved in life, being able to give that to other people, I think is really cool.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Last thing, kind of just want to ask about, you said that 39 was really hard for you and kind of grieving the loss of a life that you thought you were going to have.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this last night.
What was life that you thought you were going to have?
Yeah.
And then what do you love about the life that you've created?
Yeah. So just because I did grow up poor, money was, like, always, like, a main focus of my life. Like, just building a big business in LA, making a lot of money. So I was convinced I was going to be a millionaire by the time I turned 40. That was just a goal of mine.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed of it now. But I thought I was going to be married to, like, a really beautiful husband and really successful husband. And I was going to have kids and a big, beautiful home and just pretty much everything that you want on paper, right?
Everything most of us, like,
that we've been conditioned,
conditioned to think believe that we is want. The perfect life that we should all strive for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Society tells us that. My parents told me that. You know, I was supposed to get married at a young age in my family. Like, it's not good to get married older. And so for me, I felt like a failure. I felt like a failure because I didn't have money. I felt like a failure because I was living in a van. My mom was embarrassed of it, to be honest. I felt like a failure because I didn't have kids. And so when I turned 40, it was really rough on me because, like, all these built up of emotions. And I remember being in my van crying, but I also remember going to my sister's house with anxiety, and I broke down in her living room in front of my brother-in-law. He's like, are you crazy? I broke down crying on my knees, bawling. Oh, the first thing I said was, I've never told you guys this. I go, who's going to take care of me when I'm old? Mm-hmm. And I was just, my voice cracked and I was sobbing. My nieces all looked at me though, we will. We'll take care of you. And I love that, but I was like, but no, I was, like, crying over the thought of, like, maybe not having that life, maybe not having kids. I had to, like, really embrace that thought and be like, okay, maybe I'm not going to have kids after all. I lost my chance. Maybe I still could. I don't really know. But then grieving the loss of maybe, getting married and becoming a millionaire by the time I turned 40. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was just everything I thought I was going to have was now gone in a matter of, like, one day. It was one day.
So then you started sharing more about where you're at in life. So what, and I feel like that's been where you've created a lot of community. So what has that, like, brought to your life? Like, the positives of being able to, like, I feel like now you really embrace, like, where you are.
I know I've talked about Instagram a lot, but I'm not going to lie, it's helped me a lot. So it's become my own little therapy vessel, if that makes sense. So like, even when I post on there, it's therapeutic for me. I post and I'm crying the rest of the day. It takes a lot of emotion out of me. So I guess what it has brought me is, first of all, realizing that society puts so much pressure on women. It's not real. It's not real. It's so not real. So we put it on ourselves even more. And so even though...
And especially because those women that have followed that cookie cutter, not all of them, of course, but some of them have followed the cookie cutter process of, like, get married, marry a successful man, blah, blah, blah. A lot of them aren't living the life they really want to live.
A lot of them are following me.
Yeah.
And going, ah, like, talking to me, like, wanting to live life. I'm living a freedom and all these things. So we all want what we can't have, right?
Grass is always greener.
Exactly. And so, like, I do, a lot of those women are my friends, right? They had married, got married really young, had kids really young, still are married, right? And so they don't feel free. So they look at my life as freedom, but I look at their life as stable. And so, like, there's a middle ground, I've realized. So I've learned there's a middle ground. And that's what this year I'm going into, is being more open. I think I've been a little bit more closed off this last year. So I want to go into this year, like, you know, maybe I am open to love, but it doesn't have to look like the love I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it could perspective be, shift.
Yeah, I could still get a husband. Yeah. It's not too late, right? I could fall in love later in life.
Yes, you can.
I can still have kids. Maybe it's adoption.
Yeah,
I mean, there's different, like,
views of like what my life could be to be successful still.
I think that, yeah. So the saying like grass is always greener, I love the shift of mm-hmm. the grass is green where you water it. Mm-hmm. And that no matter where you are in life, whoever's listening to this, like if you're married and have kids and or maybe your van life or maybe it's green where you love yourself mm-hmm, and yeah. where you honor your needs and where you have really honest conversations with mm-hmm. yourself,
with your friends,
with your support system. Like you had when you broke down at your sister's and your nieces were like, we'll take care of you. Like that honesty is honesty with self. And when we hide that, it just like builds. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I always think of the analogy of a hose. And when we don't let our honest emotions, thoughts, fears, desires, excitements, happiness, whatever, when we don't let it out, it's almost like we're blocking the hose.
Yeah.
And then what happens when you block a hose? It builds up. And then it like pops out in other insidious ways.
And you have a brain aneurysm.
literally. Yeah. But actually, like I think it builds up energetically. It builds up emotionally. Yeah. It builds up relationally. You might start snapping at friends or mm-hmm. loved ones or this or that. And you're like,
or pushing people away. That's what I did. Away. Exactly. I pushed everyone away.
Exactly. And I think it's mm-hmm. like opening the hose, like mm-hmm. letting every one of those emotions come out. But we haven't been trained to know like how to honor our own emotions. Like no one talks about mm-hmm. like, oh, when you feel sad, you actually can talk about it or it's okay to cry. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love following your content because you really have shown like, oh, I am talking about taboo things or things that women like are scared to talk about. And it just makes me as a follower and a friend, of course, feel less alone and feel like, oh my gosh, this fear can come out and I can talk about it and I don't have to hide it.
Yeah.
I love your story and I love how you're showing up now and being so open about the struggles that you've had and all the different ways that you've and all the different lessons you've learned. And I really love the Annie that you're showing up for
I love you.
For your community, but how you're showing up for your friends. And I think it's really learning kind of what Nora said, that like loving your life where it is now and not giving up hope for what still could be.
Exactly.
It's like leaving that open space. Yeah. And I think that is where you'll really see the growth and really be able to appreciate all that's happened. And it's just really cool to see you doing that. And I'm just so excited for more people to be able to like experience all the life that you've created for yourself as they like follow you. And hopefully like people are inspired to like create community around them and find community in whatever they love to do. And I'm just really proud to call you friend and so thankful for you. So thank you for coming on the podcast. So
love you, Annie.
Thank y'all for listening. We love you so much.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the episode. Better Tomorrow is produced by me, Hannah Brown, and Legos Creative. Our producer is Andrew Stalmer. Our show is recorded, engineered, and edited by the Legos Creative team. Remember to follow Better Tomorrow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps and shows your support. You can follow me on socials at Hannah Brown, and you can stay updated on all things Better Tomorrow on our Instagram at Better Tomorrow and our TikTok Better Tomorrow Podcast.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.